Okay, so tonight we're starting a series in Genesis. We're going to be looking at the life of Abram. One of the best things about the Bible is that it's really about one thing. It's about one thing. It's a massive book, but it's about one thing. It's about salvation. It's about humans being able to reconnect and be reconciled to God. That's really what the Bible is about. And it's so important that right throughout the Bible, God talks about it again and again and again. And he just gives all these pictures and symbols about what salvation is. So tonight we're going to start, we're going to go right back to the beginning. And tonight we're looking at the very first picture that God gives in the Bible of salvation. And we're going to follow it through to the New Testament and see that it matches the picture that Jesus gave. It matches the message of salvation that Jesus gave in the New Testament. So our reading for tonight is really short. So Genesis 12, just 5 verses, 1 to 5. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered together, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Here we have our first picture in the Bible of salvation, and I want to walk through it with you tonight, just verse by verse, and it actually fits neatly into 3 points. It's three different sections to it. So the first one is that God calls Abram to start a new life. The second is God promises Abram incredible blessing. And the third is that God leaves Abram to respond. And we'll see how this pattern points to Jesus' message of salvation in the New Testament. But before we jump into the first point, who is Abram? Who is Abram? Why is God speaking to Abram? Why has God just said that I'm going to bless you with these incredible things? Why is Abram so special? The thing is, we don't really know. We don't really know anything about, we don't know much about Abram at all. The verses previous to this that we didn't have a look at basically say we know who his parents are, we know that he has a wife, and we know what country he came from. That's it. And over the coming weeks, we're actually going to see that Abram was a really broken man, not a very moral man. He does some stupid and some, I guess you could say, evil things that would be really shocking to us. So why would God choose Abram? Why would God choose this man to be the very first picture in the Bible of salvation? First thing that we learn here before we get to point one is that God has no prerequisites to salvation. Salvation is open to everyone. It doesn't matter how broken you are. It doesn't matter what your past history is. That means zero to God. It doesn't matter if you've committed sexual crimes. It doesn't matter if you've been part of fraud and ripped people off of their superannuation. It doesn't matter if you've battled addictions for your whole life. God has no prerequisites. He doesn't choose good people. He just offers salvation. And that's what he does with Abram. He starts with a really broken man. So that leads us to looking at verse 1. God calls Abram to start a new life. So this is verse 1. Now the Lord has said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you." So what's the first part of this picture of salvation? What's God calling Abram to do? God is calling Abram, the very first thing he says, God is calling Abram to leave absolutely everything. God is calling Abraham to leave his old life and to start a new life. So what he says here, he's asking Abram to leave his family. He's asking Abraham to leave his land. So he's asking Abraham to leave the security, leave the people who protect you, leave the land that you know, leave the land that you know that's safe, leave your religion, whatever that is, leave everything that you've had with your family and your past life, and come with me, follow me, start a new life. That's what God is calling Abraham to do right out of the blue here. As I was saying before, God gives these pictures of salvation. And we see the same pattern in the New Testament. We see the same pattern. This might be ringing a bell. This kind of things that Jesus said. I just want to share three examples with you of Jesus when he started his ministry and preaching his message of salvation. He started with, leave your old life, follow me, start a new life. First one is when Jesus starts to call his disciples in Matthew 4:18-20. It says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. So what happens is, when Jesus starts to call his disciples, they're just doing their job, living their life. He says, look, forget about that. Drop your nets, drop your job, drop your old life, and follow me. And they must have known a bit about who Jesus is because they actually did it. They actually left their nets and followed him. Second example is slightly different. It's of the rich young ruler, and he comes to ask Jesus about how can I have salvation. He says, and as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that's God. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honour your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So this rich young man came up to Jesus and said, how can I get into heaven? And Jesus ends up with saying, you want to know how you can get into heaven? Leave your old life. Leave your old life of prosperity and wealth. Leave it behind. Start a new life. Come, follow me. Give everything you have to the poor. But unlike the disciples in the first example, he says, actually, I love my old life too much. Sorry, Jesus. I'm going to keep going with that. Third example we have is the message that Jesus went around preaching to everyone. Jesus calls all to repent. Mark 1, verse 15. Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. I just want to take a minute and just talk about this word repentance, because it gets a really bad rap. We always hear the word repentance, we think it's negative, we think it's a bad thing, it's fire and brimstone, we don't want to know what it talks about. Just want to talk a little bit about this, because repentance is basically just about being fair. That's what repentance is about. Repentance is about being fair. Repentance, basically, when God asks us to repent, what he's asking is us to be fair and to treat him like God. He says he's God, you just need to treat me like God. That's what repentance is. It's turning from our old life of treating ourselves like God, thinking that we're the boss, and treating him like God. Basically, God is asking us to be fair. Treat him the way he deserves to be treated. That's what repentance is. It's actually a positive thing. Just want to give you an example, actually, from my life. I think repentance is something we do all the time. And we do it in good friendships. I had a really good friend. She's part of this community here. And she came up to me about a month ago and she said, "Ian, look, you've really been hurting me over the past few months. You've been treating me like a child and it's not fair and it hurts. And I deserve your respect and I deserve to be treated like an adult." And I was kind of taken back and I thought about it and I thought, you know, right? You're exactly right. I haven't been treating you the way I'm supposed to be treating you. I haven't been treating you the way you deserve. I haven't been treating you with to be treated. I'm in the wrong. And so it made sense to me. I said, look, how about I start to treat you like an adult? How about I start to treat you from now on like my sister? How about I treat you the way I'm supposed to treat you? And then the friendship's good. And that's what repentance is. It's going, someone saying, hey, I'm hurt, you're doing the wrong thing, you're not treating me well, could you turn and start to treat me properly? And that's what God says to us, that's what Jesus says here when he means repent. All it is saying, be fair, I'm God, I created you, treat me like God. Turn from your old life of treating yourself like God, it doesn't make sense, it's not fair. Treat me like God, that's what God's asking, be fair, treat me like God. That's what repentance is. And it's cool because with repentance, we see something about God. We see that God is standing up for justice. Okay, I hear a lot about God's love. We're going to speak about it in a sec. But on one hand, God is so just and he stands up for that. And in entering into a relationship with us, he won't tolerate if we're not treating him properly, if we're being unfair. So the first part of salvation is just being fair with God and going, God, I want to turn around, I want to start a new life, and I want to treat you the way I'm supposed to treat you. So God is a just God. But God is also an incredibly loving God, and his love is awesome and extravagant. And we start to see this in the life of Abram, in a picture of salvation. This brings us to number two. God promises Abram incredible blessing. So let's have a look at what God promises to Abram. Here we go. Remember, Abram's a broken man, a random guy, nothing special, and this is what God says. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So that's a little bit hard for us to comprehend, okay? It's a bit using some weird words about land and family and things. Basically, God is saying that I will give you a new life. I will give you a better life than you could ever imagine. I will give you a far better life than what you could do for yourself back with your old family and your old land. Instead of being a part of your father's legacy, I'm going to give you your own legacy. I'm going to bless your kids. I'm going to bless your kids and your kids' kids and your kids' kids' kids so that you turn into a nation of millions. I will protect you and curse those who are against you, and I'll bless those who are with you. And finally, instead of having a portion of your family's land, I'll give you your own country. Now, this is a broken man who's had nothing to do with God, who's done nothing to deserve this, and God says, follow me. And I'm going to pour out this incredible blessing on you. This is the second part of salvation. This here, God gives us a physical picture of the spiritual blessing that is on offer to us in this life and the next. Jesus not only spoke about repentance and turning from your old life to treating God fairly, but he also talks about blessing. The New Testament is just filled with spiritual blessing that God offers to pour on us. So tonight I want to give you just three. I can't share everything in the Bible with you, take forever. I just want to share three main things in this life and three main things in heaven, the spiritual blessing that God promises to us. Okay, so the first one, spiritual blessing. God promises complete forgiveness when we repent and turn to him. It says in Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and so that times of refreshing may come for the presence of the Lord. Let's talk about that for a sec, so that your sins may be blotted out. What God is saying here is that all of the things that you've done wrong, the thing that I did wrong with my sister, that would be blotted out. The things that the way you've treated your spouse wrong, the way you've treated your kids wrong, the way you've treated your teachers wrong, the way you've treated yourself wrong, especially the ways that you've treated God wrong. When we repent, when we come to God, God offers to absolutely blot those things out. And that means that from now on, God sees me and God sees you as perfect, as if you'd never done it, because Jesus takes those things upon himself. God offers complete forgiveness to the point where he sees you as perfect. Second blessing that's in this life that God offers, a relationship with God himself, where God lives within us. So we see this in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, where Paul says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that we have been freely given to us by God." Just focus on that, but the spirit who is from God. God promises to give us his spirit, himself, and himself, that we may know the things that he's been freely given to us by God. So God, what this means is that God comes inside of us and lives inside of us and actually helps us to know him for the first time. Actually helps us to have a real relationship where we actually begin to know who God really is. And not only that, but the blessings that come from that, that joy in times of sorrow and peace in times of trouble and contentment in times of frustration. It's amazing that in this life, God offers to put himself inside of you and me. Brings us to the third thing. If God does come inside of us, it will change who we are. God changes us. Ephesians 4, verse 24. And Paul says here that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So Paul is saying that God is going to create a new man within you. And those words, true righteousness and holiness, means basically it's saying that you're going to become like God. That God being in you is going to change who you are, and little by little, slowly over your life, God is going to make you a more loving person. God is going to make you a more just person. God is going to make you a person who sees more of the beauty in his world, a person who enjoys food more, enjoys relationships more, enjoys family more, a person who slowly, little by little, becomes like him. I really hope that in this community that you guys can see examples of this. We really should be able to see these three things in the lives of each other. All the time I have people in conversation, they'd say things like, "Man, Ian, if I wasn't a Christian, I would be such and such and such. If I wasn't a Christian, you would have no idea what I've been like." I had a mate who says, "Man, if I was a Christian, I would be an arrogant jerk. I'd be making money off all kinds of people for wrong reasons. I'd be rich. I wouldn't care about anyone else. My life would just be about me." And now he stands here changed. God's changing him and helping him to care about people. Personally, I would be in the same boat. I would be using and abusing people. That's the life that I had for as a Christian, and that's the life that I reckon I would have headed down. But God is in me and slowly helping me to love people, to care about people more and more. I have another friend a couple of weeks ago, she said to me, "If I wasn't a Christian, I'd be a free prostitute. If I wasn't a Christian, I would be just having sexual relationships with anybody, not in a committed relationship, just going around. I'd be a walking prostitute." But God helps her to be faithful. Hope that you can see that in the lives of each other here, that when God comes inside of us, he changes us slowly, makes us more loving, more caring, more just. Spiritual blessing. So I just want to give you three spiritual blessings in heaven. First spiritual blessing is living forever with God. We see this in Revelation 21, verse 3. "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them, and they will be with God." I just want you to think about this for a second. getting to see God face to face. God says that in heaven we will get to be with him and he will be with us. Can you imagine that? Being able to see the God who created the universe with your own eyes. Getting even to touch the God of the universe with your own hands. Getting to have a conversation with the God who created the universe. That's what he promises in heaven. Amazing. Living forever with God. The next two aren't as good. That's probably the pinnacle, but there's still something to look forward to. Paradise. No tears, pain, or death. See this in the next couple of verses. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to them, "Write for these words that are true and faithful." Can you see that? There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. Can you imagine a world where there are no broken relationships, where people don't hurt you? Imagine a world where you don't hurt people. Can you imagine a world with you don't have an opportunity to feel bad or angry or frustrated or bored? There is nothing bad in heaven. Spiritual blessing that God offers is eternal life with him, paradise. Just lastly, on the flip side, in paradise, endless joy, happiness, and satisfaction. We see this in Psalm 16:11, where David says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." In your presence, in heaven, with you, God, that's where joy becomes 100%. That's where happiness becomes 100%. That's where satisfaction becomes 100%. Pleasure forevermore. I don't know about you, but to me, this seems a bit lopsided. I mean, Abraham's a broken man, and God says, "Follow me," and pours out this incredible blessing on him. Jesus says to us, "Follow me. All you need to do is be fair. Just treat me like God." And gives us this incredible blessing for free. Don't need to be good. Doesn't matter what our background is. God promises us an incredible life in heaven with him. And on earth, he promises to come into our lives and change us. Amazing. So where does that leave us? It leaves us in verse 4 and 5. Brings us to point 3. God leaves Abraham to respond. And this is Abram's response. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they gathered together. And the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. So what was Abram's response? Followed God. Left his security, left his religion, left his extended family, left safety, and went after God. He didn't have to, because here God stops speaking and gives Abram a choice. Abram could have stayed in his land, could have stayed with his family, could have stayed with what he's used to, but he chose to go after God. And again, we have the same pattern here in the New Testament, that Jesus came here, he preached the gospel, and we continue to preach the gospel, and then we have the opportunity to continue in our old life where we're safe, or we have an opportunity to go after God, to start a new life with him, to treat him as God. So how will we respond? Will we respond like Abram? I'll leave it there.